Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom today. With me here for the Tell Del version of the show is Sorrell Warren. Sorrell is one of our single family mentors in the Houston market and has helped hundreds of people, if not thousands, I don't know how many, but at least hundreds of people, become successful investors. Sorrell, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Del. Thanks for having me on today.
You know, I've had you around for so long. You're so good at helping people and everything. It's really nice to get a chance to highlight your successes. Why don't we start out with, what you have right now so people have an idea of that. I think it's like 8 houses and 4 apartments or something like that.
Eight single-family homes and 5 passive investments.
So I cheated you out of one. Sorry. It's okay. So you've done this over about, let's see, 2017 is when you became a mentor, so you've been doing this for 3 or 4 years now. Let's go way back to where you were still in corporate America. You were a vice president of a company. You've been doing that for quite a few years. You're successful. What got in your craw and made you decide you're going to give that up, being, you know, vice president of a company and everything? And by the way, tell them what you did.
Yeah, well, initially when I started, it wasn't necessarily to give it up. I was in my 50s, my mid-50s, and I hadn't saved enough for retirement. So I was on a big effort to save a lot of my income toward my retirement through the normal channels of the 401k and the IRA. And I kept running into roadblocks through basically the government, not the company, and that I couldn't contribute to a Roth IRA because I made too much money. And then I was a highly compensated employee, so my contribution to my 401k was limited to what the company average was. And I was trying to pay the maximum plus the over 50 catch-up, over 55 catch-up, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. But they limited me from doing that. And so then, even though I cut back everything, the following year is when even I cut back from 15% plus the over 50 contribution, and the company average dropped, and so they gave me back a check for $2,300 that I had contributed because I still was over contributing. And so I was just frustrated with that. And about that time, you know, in my mind, this was in 2013 when I joined Lifestyles. In my mind, everything happened kind of the same day, but I'm sure it was over a period of time. But that's when I first heard the Lifestyles. I'm not the host, it wasn't you, but I first heard the Lifestyles radio program. And I went to the free workshop and understood and liked everything I was hearing. So I joined that night, went to the 2-day training with you, and joined at the challenge level, and that's when I started my investments. And the initial plan was just to supplement my retirement income. It wasn't necessarily entrepreneurial. It wasn't to retire in any period of time. I was in my mid-50s, and at that point from my job, I was still thinking I was going to work until I was 70, but I just wanted some additional income.
You know, it's interesting as I hear your story, listen to it, I get this feeling, and leads me to a question. I want you to think about this. From your discussion, Sorrell, it sounds like you believe the only way you could save for retirement was through some type of IRA or 401k or some kind of government thing where you didn't pay taxes on the money until you retire. It just sounded like everything you were trying to do was fit into that box that they told you is the only thing you can do, as opposed to all the other investments that are available out here in the world. How do you feel about that?
That is the case. That's all I knew. I worked at a job my entire life. I never was an entrepreneur. And so I knew of the 401k and the IRA. And when they stopped me from contributing to that, I opened additional individual accounts at Fidelity, and so I was still saving independently of the retirement accounts, but I was saving in the exact same methods.
Yeah, it's interesting. It just opened my eyes to the fact that a lot of people don't even understand other options. They've never even thought about it. To them, the only thing that they call retirement money is that stuff stuck in a 401k or an IRA.
Exactly.
That's bizarre. All right, so you went out here, you went to the two-day. What was the aha moment for you in the two-day? I always like to hear that from people. What, you know, you sat there and listened to me for 2 days. What caught your attention, said, man, that's it. That's really what I need to hear.
Well, the first thing on Saturday was just the ability to invest in single-family homes, and I knew that was a possibility. I just never had done it, and I didn't really know anybody who had rented their house or was a landlord. I knew people did that, but when I started listening to that and the tax advantages of being a real estate investor were just mind-blowing to me. And so that's what I wanted to do. And so that was the first thing. I guess the biggest aha moment for me was that the income would be tax deferred, because I didn't invest, you know, as I should have in my retirement. But when I was investing, I knew it was being taxed, and there were penalties and all kinds of things. So the biggest aha moment on Saturday was the tax benefits primarily, and the way that the money grows in real estate, but the tax benefits primarily.
Yeah, it's amazing. The other thing that I think that people should think about is, you know, because I'm just thinking of you being, you know, 50 years old, being in that position, got a good job, happy with life, just trying to plan for retirement, basically, and not knowing that every dollar that you invest in the 401k, you put it in, but it doesn't pay you anything back. Whereas every dollar you put into those single family houses, you started getting money, and the money was tax deferred, which is really weird, because you get the 401k, it's tax deferred, but you don't get the money. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That was the big eye opener for me.
So you started buying houses up front. That was your first thing you did?
I did. I joined and I started buying single family homes. I had some, you know, aha moments in the multifamily on Sunday also, but and I probably had enough money. You know, now I being a mentor and I counsel people on how much money they have and which way to go. I definitely had enough money to go to multifamily. But in my reasoning, because I was in my mid-50s already and looking to grow as quickly as possible, I chose to go the single-family route initially. Later, a couple of years later, I did move to multifamily.
So what kind of returns did you make on these single-family houses?
Back in late 2013, I guess my first house went live in January 2014. But I was getting into the properties I was making about a 22 to 23% cash on cash return on my first three houses I bought in the year 2014.
How about
and
captured equity?
Capture of about, yeah, equity capture was anywhere from 30 to 40% return on equity.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing quite well. Nowadays, Sorrell, since you're out there being a mentor, you're touching everybody's deals. What are we looking for? If we were just going to spit wad, you know, a number, I'm not holding you to an exact number or anything, but what would you say somebody should think they're looking for in a house right now as far as cash flow returns and or captured equity returns?
The market across the country is different, and even in our three major cities here in Texas, the market is different. Houston still has one of the best markets, and right now what we're seeing is that the cash-on-cash return is somewhere between 13 and 14% on the low end. These are averages, and up to about 18% on the high end, with some members still finding properties, you know, around 20% cash on cash return. And you can still find properties, you know, like you say, never lose money. So we're always looking for some equity capture, but minimum is probably 15 to 20%. And some members are actually finding properties with 75 to 100% cash on cash returns. I'm sorry, equity capture, return on equity.
Wow, that's good. So, in your estimation, just out of curiosity, you know, we talk about this, we're now nationwide, so you really brought that to the discussion, is that there's wide variances, right?
Absolutely.
So when someone's in an area where the houses are very, very expensive, are you guys motivating them to come to other areas where there are better deals?
Most definitely. We have a lot of members, again, with Houston being one of the best markets still. I work with members quite frequently. Our national mentors actually initially work with them to get them trained and get them started. But once they're ready to buy and they're looking at properties in Houston, I work with members from across the country who are looking in the Houston market, so that I've been work with them on market-specific
information. All right, Sorrell, we got to go to break. We're going to go to break now. We'll be right back with Sorrell Warren and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
The effects of what happened in 2008, and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you, and creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Here with me today on the Tell Del version of the show is Sorrell Warren, one of our single family mentors out of Houston who owns 8 houses and 5 apartment complexes. We're talking about single families still at this point, and Sorrell's went to break. We got cut off, but I thought you brought up an interesting point, and I'd like to have you expand on it if you could. And that is, how do our members from all over the country get helped? All over the country. I mean, to me, when you said that, and remember, I own this place, and it still boggles my mind how good you guys are. How are you guys mentoring people all over the country and getting them to live up to the motto of live where you want and invest where you should? That's the motto I came up with. You guys made it happen. Tell us how that works.
Yes, Dale, I first heard you say that a few years ago, and first it starts, we have two single family, or I guess it starts with the, where, you know, we are doing presentations, the two-day presentation across the country, and those are live and virtual, so that's how people first, you know, get into the program. And then when they choose to go the single family route, they initially start with one of the two single family mentors who work with people all over the country, and they help them assess their situation, what their goals are, and lay out the roadmap to get them to their end point. And so then the members go through the education. And so when they're looking to, and sometimes they'll invest in their own backyard if it makes sense, and sometimes it doesn't. So that's when they'll invest in other places. So when they come to Houston, that's when they get one of the three. There's two additional mentors here. And we work with them to plot out their goals and help them understand the local market here. And then we have a realty team here. You have a realty company here in Houston, and so they work with the realtors to. And they tell the realtors what they're looking for, the type of property they're looking for, what their numbers are, what the criteria is, and the realtors find properties and present those properties to them. And then the realtors will kind of be their eyes on the ground in many cases. They will send them pictures and videos and live streams as they're walking through property. So they're sitting in their homes and other places, and they're, you know, looking at this property, making a decision. Do they want to take the next step with the property? And then just as if they were here, they will analyze the property and make the decision to move forward on it. And then they come back to the mentors, and we will help them go through the steps. And then they have the vendor team, and they will get contractors and inspectors and everybody they need to do that. And so many people have bought properties in Houston particularly, but other places also, where they don't live, and they've never actually seen the property in person.
You know, it's interesting. As you speak and tell me this, what's amazing is that I don't even think about it. It just happens. It's just a beautiful thing to see. But you know, we have over 100 employees in Lifestyles alone, and then we have 7 real estate companies now all over the country, 7 different cities. We have a real estate company, and those are filled with employees. And I don't know how many agents we have, probably hundreds more. You just don't think about it, Sorrell. Even me, the owner, I don't even think about it. So somebody's out there listening to us right now. This radio show is on 106 stations nationwide. So 106 different stations is playing out to thousands of people. And they hear this, and I don't think you can listen to this over the radio and get the idea that it's not just like me, one or two guys. You know, that there are hundreds of people out there helping thousands of people do this every day. That's what I'm getting from this. I'm feeling quite good, to be honest with you. This is pretty amazing how much we really are doing out there. As we go through this, Sorrell, these people move seamlessly from mentor to mentor, right?
They do, yeah. You can work, a member can work with any mentor. Usually they kind of get someone they latch onto, and it works well. But you know, if I work with people repeatedly, and if I happen not to be available, they can go to one of the other mentors. And so, yeah, mentors work, you know, the members work seamlessly from member to mentor to mentor.
I think in this day and age, we go through this again, I'm just amazed thinking about this. Now that you have something like FaceTime, you actually could take a mentor with you on an inspection, could you not?
We don't really do that because they're usually they're with their realtor. So I've, you know, almost 3 years I've done this. I've never been on an inspection with a member.
Okay. Well, when I was here, we did for apartments. We didn't do the inspection for houses, but just the walk around. In other words, if you're going to go look at the house, hey, what do you think of this house? You literally could, if they wanted to, just either take a video of it on their phone and send it to you, or shoot you, you know, a quick FaceTime. Hey, just take a look at this. What do you think of this problem right here? In other words, what I'm saying is technology has it now to where you actually, no matter where you are in the country, could have a face-to-face with somebody if you literally had to, right?
Absolutely. And we do, you know, since we went virtual when COVID started, and you already had a system in place, your team, other than the mentors, but your team of the production people and all that, because we were already live streaming events. And so we went virtual very quickly. So I've done hundreds of our virtual meetings with members, not necessarily inspections, but hundreds and hundreds of virtual meetings with members since March of 2020.
Yeah, were you amazed by that? I was, that we didn't even slow down. I mean, it wasn't even like we had any problems with COVID. We just shut the doors, locked everybody out, and went virtual almost overnight. Did that surprise you how quickly we were able to convert?
I was surprised because, we did a lot of on-site things, a lot of face-to-face things, and all of our initial meetings were face-to-face, and a lot of things, you know, case studies were face-to-face, single-family road trips as well as multifamily were all, you know, in person. And I did the, I was co-host of one of the last in-person case study we did in March of 2020, and then the very next month we were live doing them virtually. And the funny thing, too, is that the March case study, it was just coincidental. One of the two single-family presenters in the March 2020 case study just happened to be a gentleman who lived in Chicago, and he had bought 7 single-family properties in Houston. And that wasn't the plan to do that. I mean, we planned to have him on, but it wasn't because he was, you know, the virtual thing. And because we had successfully did that, even though I was on stage live with one of the presenters, he came in virtually and talked about his properties. And from Chicago, and then the next month, and from then on, we were doing that, you know, automatically. So I guess I can't say it surprised me because we had actually done it right before the pandemic started.
Yeah, it surprised me. I quite honestly, I had had conversations with the upper management people and said, you know, this may be the end, you know, because everything we did was live. I mean, this was a hands-on, touchy, this is your life savings we're talking about kind of business. And it's not something where I thought we could just pick up the phone and talk to people and it would keep going. So I was very surprised that we were able to turn it around. But that's because I'm old and technology is for young people and they know how to use it and get it done right.
Well, the gentleman who was in that March 2020 case study, he had bought his properties between 2018 and 2019, and he bought those 7 properties in Houston. If you remember, we had our Wealth and Passive Expo just before the pandemic hit, and he came into Houston for the Wealth and Passive Expo, and that was the first time he had laid eyes on any of his properties. I think he visited 5 of the 7 properties when he came in for the expo, but he was only here for the expo.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to take a break right now. We'll be right back with Sorrell Warren and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Everyone is asking, is it still a good time to invest in real estate?
We see no indication that for the foreseeable future, and even the unforeseeable future, no indication whatsoever that real estate is suddenly not going to be the best vehicle for creating wealth and passive income for your family. And so that would say that now is the time to get in. And we very rarely talk about this because we talk about cash flow. But now we're talking a little bit about capital gains and what the future brings in that property. Because it's real. At the end of the day, you have all your cash flow, but you've got this nice capital gain when you sell. And the inflation that we see and the reasons for it are going to continue. And we're going to see great capital gains at the end of the line when we sell these properties.
Get in on the next free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back, Tell Del version of the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Man, I'll tell you what, today the old tongue is twisted all over the place. This is Del Wamsley Radio Show. And with me today in the Tell Del version is Sorrell Warren out of Houston, Texas. He's one of our single family mentors. Sorrell, as we've gone through the single family portion of your investing and your mentoring, let's talk now about why you got interested into doing some multifamily stuff.
The plan was just to buy a lot of houses and save as much money, generate as much income as I could as I started moving toward retirement. And about 2.5 years in, it hit me that, and from talking to members, I mean, a lot of things we do are networking, and from networking with a lot of other members who were retiring, I started changing my mindset from just continuing to work to looking toward a retirement date. And then I saw that multifamily was the best way to get me there. And so, and actually, even before that, back when I first started, I guess I need to take one step backwards. When I first started Lifestyles, I was a Dave Ramsey person, and I was you know, pay everything off. I was 1 year into a new house, a 15-year mortgage, and I was planning on paying it off in 6.5 years. And then, like Dave Ramsey, I was going to save money and buy a rent house in cash. And that's kind of the goal, was to own those rent houses in cash and continue working for a lot of years and then have that income, you know, 10, 12 to 15 years down the road. And so that's when I realized that I could do that a lot quicker. And so had I stayed on the Dave Ramsey plan, I would have still been working at my job. I actually made a spreadsheet, and I would have still been at my job until November of 2019. And then I would have started saving money from the extra money I was paying toward paying off the mortgage and all that. And I would have bought a property, my first single-family house in cash, probably sometime now or, you know, maybe even next year. But doing it the other way, I was able to retire in 3.5 years. So, the impetus for changing was just seeing that a multifamily was a better use of the money.
So another one of these tricky questions as I listen to this. You're an intelligent guy, you're a successful business person, you make money, and you become a Dave Ramsey follower. You're that kind of logical person, and I'm saying you all, everybody out there that fits this mold, you're that logical person that being frugal seems logical. Saving money seems logical. Staying out of debt seems logical. Those are like all of the core things that right after you read the Bible and learned about the Ten Commandments, that you would learn those frugality points in life, right? That's what logical people think. How hard was it for you to give that thought process up and decide to go into debt to get rich?
Well, it was very hard for me, and I wasn't always that logical person. I didn't save, I mentioned I didn't save much for retirement when I was younger, and younger meaning not just in my 20s, even in my 30s and into my 40s. I didn't save much money toward retirement. I kind of lived for the moment. And actually, I made some bad business decisions, some bad job decisions because I didn't own the businesses. But I had left a good company, moved to another company, turned out to not be as good. And I had a big financial disaster, and right literally the month before 9/11 happened. And I struggled for another year and a half after that. And luckily, I did not have to file bankruptcy, but I had nothing. And so I basically started over after 9/11. And so I wasn't always frugal, but after that disaster, then I started becoming very frugal. So after having, 13 or 14 years at that point of being very frugal, trying to catch up, then to go into debt was really tough for me. And I actually had to run some numbers to figure out that if I did it, you know, I joked with you one time when we were having this, either this meeting or even a face-to-face conversation. I joked that I had you on one shoulder and Dave Ramsey on the other shoulder, and I had to make a spreadsheet to determine that your method would get me there quicker.
That's funny. I could see that. Your brain had to be fried with him screaming in one ear and me screaming in the other ear. No doubt. But I'd go over there and knock him off.
Exactly.
That makes sort of sense. Now I see it, that you were somebody who actually needed some of the Dave Ramsey thought process on track.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And yeah.
Go ahead.
And like you talk about how you know people are in the valley, and that's when they turn to Dave Ramsey. And I didn't have a lot of debt. I just didn't have I didn't have any retirement. And at the time when I got Dave Ramsey, I wasn't making a lot of money. I had to turn that around, and so that's the reason I was on Dave Ramsey. But you've made the analysis several times on your shows that you know the people in the valley, and Dave is standing there getting them out of the valley, but you're up on the mountain and say, okay, when you get out of the valley, come to Dell, and you can pull them up to the top of the mountain, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's the clearest way I can demonstrate it to people that, you know, and by the way, you call it a valley, I call it a crevasse. You're down in the crevice and you're stuck down there, and Dave's guy's got a rope to pull you out of the valley, you know, if you're broke and terrible credit, bad credit, whatever. Dave's your man. But once you get back up to being a normal person again, you get on flat ground and you want to look up that mountain. I'm up there at the top of the mountain and I'm throwing ropes down too. So you can get up to the top. That's great. So it took you 3.5 years to retire then, huh? And retirement in our, by the way, if you're a new listener, retirement in our group of people means that you were able to replace your earned income with passive income. So you did not need to work anymore. You completely replaced it. When you hit that point, was it mindful to you that you gave up a job? I mean, how did you rationalize that, just giving up a job at such an early age? I mean, you're not even 60 yet, are you?
Oh, no, I'm 60. I'm in mid-60s now because I've been a member since 2013.
Oh, okay.
So I had no problem giving up the job. I was a vice president of a company. I loved my job. I was in the travel business. I traveled all over the world, but I still had a job. I still worked a lot of hours. Even as a VP, I was working a lot of hours and had a lot of responsibilities. And because I'd worked so many hours for most of my life, I was ready to retire. And rather than having, you know, 3 weeks of travel, I got to travel, you know, pretty much every month. And
wow.
So I was ready to retire.
So what did you do in the travel industry? I'm just curious.
I worked at a big online travel company. We booked, the company had, you know, it was a huge company. We had 900 employees here in the Houston area. We booked, we sold cruises and escorted tours and all-inclusive resorts, primarily river cruises, those kinds of things. And,
wow.
And, yeah.
Where have you been my whole life? Where have you been?
I was traveling. I've been to all 50 states and 91 countries now.
Man. I am envious as can be. You know, I can't travel. And the reason I can't travel is because I'm too type B personality. I go, yeah, we can do it. No, we can't. Yeah, we can go. It'd be great. I don't have any problem with the money. Yeah, but the flight's not going to get there. The boat's going to sink. It's going to, you know, you can't speak the language. I just keep talking myself out of stuff like that. Where should, you know, my wife wants to go to Greece, Italy, I guess that whole general area there, Spain. Where's the best places to go?
You know, it's funny you said those two countries. People ask me all the time, what's my favorite destination? And as much as I've traveled, I don't have one. And I've been telling people my four favorite places are in my two favorite countries are Greece and Italy. I love all parts of those two countries. And then my two favorite, I'm a beach guy, I'm a scuba diver, and my two favorite beach locations are Bora Bora and the Maldives.
Wow. Have you ever met Frank?
Frank.
Don't know? Okay. Madeline Mozzarella's husband?
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Frank. Absolutely. Yeah.
He was my best man at my wedding. He is an avid scuba diver from all over, goes all over the place. You guys should get together. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
He loves
Al Gordon,
it.
Al Gordon, who follows you, is an avid scuba diver. It just so happened, Al and I are going to go scuba diving in December.
No kidding. Where are you going?
We're going to Cozumel.
Oh, man. Again, I'm envious. See, this isn't right. I should be having all the fun. If I could put any pressure on you, if you were actually an employee, and that's something I need people to understand right now. I say we have over 100 employees. I would guarantee you that 90% of those 100 employees were members that after they retired, they had nothing to do. And I said, well, since you have nothing to do, why don't you come help me help other people? And they just come on. Does this really feel like a job even to you? Or is it just really like you're doing something to help people? How do you feel about that?
It absolutely does not feel like a job. I mean, well, like I said, I worked, I loved my job, my last job.
We got to go to break. Hold that thought. We'll pick it up when we come back, okay? We'll be right back with Sherelle Warren and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange, and we bought three brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have three of her inherited properties and then three properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into three, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del is Sherelle Warren, a single family mentor out of the Houston market. Also a member, eight houses owned and five apartment complexes. And as we were going to break, Sherelle was talking with us about what it feels like to be a mentor here at Lifestyles. How do you feel about that? What's it like being a mentor here?
You know, Del, I absolutely love it. When I got the opportunity to do it, I jumped at the chance. The first thing was that I wouldn't be sitting here today had it not been for the mentors. I knew, you know, you ask a lot of people, you know, did they always have the entrepreneurial spirit and when did they develop it? Again, I was in my mid-50s. I'd never been an entrepreneur, never even thought about doing it. You know, your teaching, the two-day training is what was the kickoff course, but working with the mentors is what enabled me to progress, you know, as quickly as I did. And so when I got the opportunity to do it, I jumped at the chance, and I just absolutely love working with people. And, you know, I was in sales for in my entire career pretty much. And you know, I kind of, and I always had kind of the right work ethic, I guess, and the right, I wasn't in it just to, you know, that whole thing, you know, if somebody can sell anything to anybody, you can sell ice to Eskimos. That wasn't me. I always had integrity with what I was doing. But after I retired, I looked back at my career and I realized I was always in the business of helping people. And even today, I mean, when I got this opportunity, I'm helping members. And, you know, they start off just wide-eyed and scared, and then they progress, and I talk to them less and less as they move through the process. And you know, in my spare time now, I'm working with two volunteer organizations while I'm helping people. And so I've always kind of wanted to help people, and this is just the ultimate of doing that. And you asked earlier, do I think of this as a job, or is it like a job? And it's absolutely not. Even though I do have responsibilities and I do things, but it's a joy doing it. And I'm kind of the best example of how I don't consider it a job, really, is that when I had been with the company about 3 months as a mentor, and we had two mentors at the time. He's there. We have three now. But one of the other mentor left to pursue her lead investor work, which she's now very successful at doing that. And so I was the only mentor, and about the time she was leaving, I already had a trip scheduled. I was going to Greece, one of your wife's favorite places, and I was going to Greece, and nine of my friends, 10 of us had chartered a sailboat to sail through the small Greek islands that the cruise ships don't go to. Phenomenal vacation, and this was already scheduled, so Lynn said, you know, to transfer all the calls and emails to her. And I told her, I said, Lynn, you're way too busy for that. I was in the travel business. I'm used to working from, you know, remote locations. And so I was mentoring on a sailboat in the Greek Isles back in 2019. Live calls and emails, you know, from members while I was, you know, on a sailboat in Greece.
That's amazing.
That's not a job.
I got to steal that one. That's Yeah, that's not a job. That's insane. That is great. So you know I'm going to have my wife call you, right? She's going to call you and
Absolutely.
Bug you. Tell me how to put together. We've been trying to put together a trip to Greece. We've got, you know, like four or five members that want to go with us, and we just can't. You know, get it together. I don't know why, but you obviously can put that thing together like nothing. You know all the ins and outs. That's great.
Yeah.
How long have you been a mentor now?
It's a little, right at 3 years now.
By the way, one thing you said was there was only two mentors and there was one mentor. We have to make this clear to people. There's three single family mentors. There's three multifamily mentors. And there's one operations consultant for how to operate your properties, and that's just in Houston, Texas.
Right.
And we have those people in multiple cities all across the country. So I don't want people to hear that just coming onto the radio show and go, oh, there's one. No, there's over 100 employees nationwide now. We're all over the place.
In addition to national mentors, both single family and multifamily also.
That's true.
In the cities.
Yeah. So there's people everywhere, and you know, you're going to get helped. And the kind of people who are going to help you are going to be people like Sorrell, who just have a lot of love in their heart, man. That, you know, when somebody saves you, and that's the way I've always looked at it. I was a little fat kid and with Coke bottle glasses, Sorrell. And so my story has been the same. You see it every time I get up and tell it. And that is, hey, I found out how to lose the weight and get in shape and then be the captain of the football team and the, you know, school prom king and queen and, you know, the whole thing. And that turnaround was like, hey, I'm going to go back and help other people that are at the bottom. You know, I was helping fat people first when I learned how to get in shape. I taught people how to get in shape. When I was a poor person, I became wealthy. I wanted to go back and help people. That's really the core feeling in the group, is it not?
Absolutely, and most definitely. I'm into volunteer organizations. I was talking to a 16-year-old man. I spent an hour and a half talking to a 16-year-old young man two nights ago, who's going down the wrong road. And I'm in an organization that helps kids who are in foster homes. And so, I mean, many of the people I know in your organization are doing things just like that in their personal lives.
You're right. That's, now that I think about it, you're right. I can name many people to do that. I guess it's just the kind of person that we attract, or maybe it's, we don't just attract those kind of people. They bubble up. Does that make sense? You know, here's a group of people, and they bubble up to the top, and I grab them because we're always looking for people to give back and help people. So that's an interesting point. Have you gotten to the point yet, 3 years into this, where you have massive feelings coming to you from other members giving back love? And I don't know how to say this right, but there comes a point as a mentor where you've saved so many people's lives that you're now almost like a superstar yourself. Have you got that at point yet?
You know, I don't feel like a superstar by any means. I do like it when people I started with from ground zero, and they're nervous and scared and don't know what to do, and then they call me literally three or four times a week or 10 times a week on the first property. Then they call me once or twice and become a second property. And then the funny thing is many of them will call me and say, I think I know what I'm doing. I just want to touch base with you. And you know, and I say, you're doing absolutely the right thing. And then I would hear from them. And then, you know, they're counseling other members. I mean, our newest mentor in the Houston market, Hind, I'm not sure if you've had her on your program, but Hind, before she became a mentor just this past couple of months ago, she was helping lots of people. And all of us worked with Hind when she started, but Hind's a superstar. We knew she was a superstar in the rising, but she was already mentoring without being a mentor, which is why we grabbed her and brought her onto
the team. Well, Sorrell, I've got to tell you, I really appreciate what you do for us, and applaud you and your success. We're at the end of the show now, but thank you very much for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Dale.
For the rest of you out there, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.